The Sarah of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So push that button.
What's trending in Everett?
Everett gets a new opioid treatment center, and it's being celebrated as a move to get people help instead of throwing people in jail. And it's very similar to the story we talked about, or at least the approach we talked about it, talked about at 3:30, that it's a decision that is very intentional. Because throwing someone in jail when they have an addiction doesn't actually treat the addiction. Now, of course, at some point, there has to be a jail sentence as a sort of a carrot that you're dangling in front of them, or at least the idea of getting out of jail instead of going directly to jail as the carrot, to get them to be fully committed to this. And on paper, it sounds really, really, really good until you look at the results. You look at the results outside of this and realize, oh, crime isn't actually edging down, but we're throwing a lot of people into treatment centers. That is a direct problem of Seattle. Now, in this case, it's only got 8 beds. But to be fair, look, that's 8 beds that could help 8 people who are addicted to heroin or an opioid, who are in desperate need of some kind of help and intervention. And then on top of that, they say the treatment center's medical lab and the behavioral health unit can treat 150 people a day. So this is fantastic. Now, Cassie Franklin, the mayor of Everett, she is coming up and saying, look, this is really good because you know what? Cops now have options. And so this is really an amazing part of this is they're not forcing cops to use this service. It sounds like they're giving them the opportunity to use this as a resource if they think it's going to work while they're out there patrolling the streets of Everett, interacting with, in some cases, the same person over and over and over again. They realize after the 4th arrest that, oh, maybe we should give this person this kind of option, getting medical treatment, getting addiction treatment. So the center is called Ideal Option. And this is good. They say in 1 week in 2018, 32% of all inmates booked into the Snohomish County Jail tested positive for opioids. That according to the latest 1 week point in time count by the Snohomish Health District. So they're saying a lot of the crime that they're seeing in Everett, and this is not a shock, this is probably going to be replicated, if not worse, throughout other parts of the state. This is what we're seeing. Crime is being driven in large part by this kind of addiction. And the way it works out is exactly the way you think. People will break into a car, quick smash and grab, steal things, sell them, then use the profits to purchase drugs from a drug dealer. They do the same thing when they break into homes, into garages and whatnot. And this happens over and over and over again because they are addicted to that chemical. They are dependent on it. And so they will do anything, including break the law, to feed that addiction. Amber DeRodis is a recovering addict, and she tells Como TV that the treatment center got her off drugs because otherwise she would just be connecting with people who would be feeding that addiction.
I'd save my life. You're making new connects, if that makes sense. Like, you're meeting new people that can hook you up with what you want.
Except in this case, she's being hooked up now with people who can get her the help that she needs. Now, is this going to be a long-term fix for her? I don't know. The truth of the matter is, when we're looking at these types of options, they don't really present us with a lot of long-term data. But I'm willing to give this a shot, so long as you're not taking away the police ability to do their job, put people in jail when they need to be put in jail, and a prosecutor who's not going to say to every single addict who's a criminal, oh, we're just going to look the other way. We're not going to throw you in jail. And the good news is, Snohomish County prosecutor has decided to change that tone and go away from the policies of King County. So I look at this, and I'm more hopeful than not. So we wish them the best of luck. And, of course, we're going to be following up on this, because if it works there, it's probably something that can pretty easily be replicated all across the Puget Sound region. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So Gillette decided to change their marketing campaign of razors a few months ago. It was really mostly last year. And they decided to take on a more social justice message. They were down to fight toxic masculinity, which is something, by the way, I'm accused of having all the time. I ooze toxic masculinity.
Oh, Jason, there's a spider on your shoulder.
Oh, my God! Did I get it? Stop me!
There was no spider.
Oh, you, God, I hate you so much. I hate you. That's my toxic masculinity, my disgust of you. So they decided that they were going to go after toxic masculinity, which is a term that doesn't really mean anything beyond, hey, we don't like certain aspects of men that, you know, we need to change for some reason because sexism existed in the past, undoubtedly, and we're going to blame all men in 2019 for the sexism that existed in the past that they had nothing at all to do with. We're going to pretend that they're still part of the problem, and we're going to get really upset with them because justice. Okay. And so they did that. Do you remember this ad?
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold others.
By the way, I have to say this. I don't believe in the best of men. I think all people are inherently bad. So how about that? Put that in your stupid ad.
In men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
Oh, that's
sexist. To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Not cool. Not cool.
Some already are.
Talking about me.
In ways big.
He's not talking about you. Men.
And small.
Okay, I don't have to listen to the whole thing, right? You kind of get the picture. But the music, the swell of the music really inspired me to be a better person.
I was hoping you'd cut it off sooner.
Oh, shut up. See, it inspires me to be a better person. So they face backlash for that. And now we've got the results of this campaign. Yeah, they lost about $8 billion. Not really the results they wanted. They were hoping to, you know, sort of increase their share. They're obviously competing against different companies now in it, like a Harry's or a Dollar Shave Club, which actually is way better than Gillette and way cheaper and way more convenient. So they decided to do basically what Nike did, except in this case, this was the wrong move. This was totally the wrong move. And now they're suffering for it. And as a result, they're going back to their old branding, which is simply just like focusing on what it is that they do. We're just going back to the, you know, if you want a close shave, go with Gillette. They're basically going away from the social justice argument, even though everyone at the time was saying that this was going to hurt. There were calls for boycotts. And usually I would say boycott calls don't really work. And I was seeing a lot of women, for example, who were on Twitter saying, you know, good for you, Gillette. We're the ones who buy the razors for our husbands and our boyfriends, and we're now going to shop for you. No, that's not really how it's done. It's certainly done in some cases, but men clearly decided to go away from this. And you know what? When you're a man, for the most part, you kind of have to shave. Not everybody shaves, but most people do. And so you're looking at different products and you're saying, you know what? Harry's sounds really good right now. Harry's.com. It's really cheap. They're going to send me the razors every single month. A month is cheaper than just one of the razors from Gillette. I don't like your message. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. My masculinity is not toxic. And now they suffer. Let's talk about that for just a second. Masculinity is not toxic. I suppose it can be toxic. There are certainly ways that you can be toxic in your quote-unquote masculinity. But it's a fringe feminist position. And it blames men for literally everything. And it's meant to correct sexism in the past. But it's an overcorrection. Because now we have to pretend everything about femininity is perfect and amazing and needs to be replicated by all of the men while saying the opposite of men. Like, that goes too far. How about this? Men be good. You're inherently good, except in my view, but most people think men are inherently good. Don't be bad. And if you're being bad, we're going to tell you why it's bad and we're going to try to train you out of it. Women, you also can do the exact same thing. Try to be good people, inherently good people, and we're all good at the end of the day. But instead, we go one step too far. We try to socially engineer biology out of men that we want. And sometimes they literally say men need to act more like women. If women were in charge, we'd have less wars. Really? How do you know that? This is such a ridiculous point. You can easily point to women in positions of power where I think Margaret Thatcher might stand in the way of some of what you guys are saying. Oh, you got to be more like women. Okay, but then are women inherently like women? Do they have some sort of trait inside them that makes them like quote-unquote women? Well, if that's true, and it is, by the way, biology of men and women, completely different, brains completely different. One is not better than the other, they're just different, and it's okay to acknowledge that. If you're saying that men need to be more like women, you're telling men to be less like men, which is inherent in them. And that's kind of a weird bit of experimenting to do on boys in this country. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message on the Numbetter Tax Resolution Hotline. I am all over Twitter. If you want to join the conversation on Twitter as well, twitter.com/JasonRants, or just text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link so you can follow me, but also Saul Spady, Michael Medved, Ben Shapiro. You can follow all of us. Just text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
So it all comes down to this. Finally, AOC inspired us by telling us to stop eating so many hamburgers. She actually got us really hungry for burgers, and so we decided to find the absolute best burger in all of Western Washington. Producer Tom, for months now, has been on the trail, and finally, we've got the results.
Maybe we shouldn't be eating a hamburger for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
After more than 6 months, 30 burgers, and 24 reviews, it is time to reveal the best burger in the city of Seattle. Back in February, I asked you, the listeners, where the best burger is, and we got tons and tons of options to try out. So it was important we investigate to find out where the best one is. We took your recommendations, we took the top burgers from Yelp, and we even tried some burgers that aren't even burgers. All in an effort to get you the information that you need when you are deciding where you want to go to eat that day. That's really what all of this was about, getting you, the public, the information on these burgers. That being said, we did turn into a contest, and we have divvied up these burgers into categories so you can find the best burger for your particular situation. All that being said, let's jump right in.
Best bang for your buck.
The best bang for your buck is Dick's Drive. The Deluxe, which is the big seller, is only $3.65. And it's a burger with two quality patties and a great combination of mayo and pickle relish. They continue to rack up lines during the lunch hour rush every weekday, including on the weekends. They continue to get business, so the best bang for your buck, that's Dick's Drive-In.
Best fast food style burger.
Shake Shack. Look, it doesn't resemble fast food, despite being fast food. The burger is charred, it's served on a dinner roll soft bun, and it's charred over on the outside of the burger, which was crispy, it was delicious. It felt like a lot of care went into the meal. And while I've heard a lot of criticism of Shake Shack nationally, the Seattle spot is doing something right, and obviously Seattleites have taken to it because another location is planned to open up in the University Village along with a spot in Kirkland. Shake Shack is the best fast food style burger.
Biggest burger.
The biggest burger I had was at BRGR in Pioneer Square. Throughout my expeditions, I seldom felt as full as I felt when I left BRGR, and it's actually a worthwhile burger. As with anything else, the bigger it is, the more room for air. Well, BRGR is a quality bar burger. While the bar isn't that fun of a place, the burger is worth a trip during lunchtime. Go check out the Burger Bar in Pioneer Square.
Best fries.
Little Big Burger. Look, Little Big Burger is one of the first places I reviewed, and with all the spots I tried, no side of fries really ever lived up to Little Big Burger. They're called truffle fries, and they were thin-cut, salted well, bathed in this white truffle oil, and they do their job in complementing the burger. You also receive a ton of them, so you'll get filled up. They're addicting. You're going to be, watch your weight if you continue to go to Little Big Burger.
Best atmosphere.
Oh, Katsu Burger. Absolutely. What an atmosphere. I don't think I took as many pictures anywhere else as I did at Katsu. Katsu is widely considered a Japanese dish. That's where it originated. And when you're in the restaurant, it sends out that vibe. There's a giant mural dedicated to Godzilla that covers an entire wall. Other Japanese art stretches the paneling. There's also a world map that you're encouraged to place a pin on where you're visiting from. And at the location on Cap Hill in which I went, there's also a small bar. So everyone wins at Katsu Burger.
Honorable mention.
I gotta give a shout out to Little Big Burger. It's one of my favorite locations. They were actually strongly considered for the best bang for your buck category, but since I went, the price for their cheeseburger went up $1.75. When I went, it was $5. Now it's up to $6.75, and it's kind of a small burger, so it's not as great of a deal as it was when I went before, so that's why they were eliminated from that conversation. but their beef patty was good, the bun was great, and the onions were second to none. I would recommend Little Big Burger to everyone.
Best burger.
All right, it's time for the best burger. Well, if you've been listening for a while, you know where I'm going with this one. Henry's Tavern has the best burger. Now, Restaurants Unlimited invited me out to their Bellevue spot. They have locations in Seattle. I was in Bellevue. Their barbecue bacon burger was absolutely delicious. A thick slab of seasoned ground chuck. The onions were crispy onion straws. They were incredible. The barbecue sauce was spread perfectly. And the internal heat in the burger was just incredible. It will fill you up. You'll be down for the count after consuming the whole meal. It is the only burger I gave a 9 out of 10 to. So when anyone asks me where the best burger I've ever had is, I always tell them Henry's Tavern in Bellevue. They have location in Seattle. I was in Bellevue, just to clear that up. To see all 24 burger reviews, you can go on over to KTTH.com. You can find this article, and you get to look at the reviews for every burger mentioned in this piece. Thank you so much for listening. This has been another Burger Review, brought to you for the Jason Rantz Show.
Well, there you have it. And you know what? I have to say, for once, you and I agree on something of substance, which is Henry's Tavern is, in fact, the best burger in Seattle.
Easily.
Very
clearly.
Easily. It's a little bit unfair to compare it to a Dick's drive-in burger because it's a restaurant versus like fast food. But Henry's Tavern, the best. I was surprised that Lil Woody's didn't sort of edge out the competition because I thought it was going to be between Lil Woody's, which is also an amazing place to get a burger.
There's really good.
A few locations. I think there's Capitol Hill, Fremont.
There's a few
Ballard
locations.
Yeah, Lil Woody's is very, very good. Dick's Drive-In is outstanding for that kind of burger. If you want a fast food burger, it's absolutely the best one you can get. But if you're going to a restaurant, Henry's Tavern, I've only been to the one in Seattle, South Lake Union. Been there multiple times. It's very good.
Well, obviously, a lot of people share that opinion because on our fan vote on Twitter, Dick's just beat Burgermaster by a ton, despite a scathing tweet from Burgermaster.
Yeah, Burgermaster was a little,
a little spicy.
Awesome.
A little spicy. Dick's Drive-In is the winner of the Twitter vote. You can go to our KTTH 770 page at 770 KTTH on Twitter to see the full bracket. Dick's is the winner. No shocker there. Seattle loves the Dick's Drive-In.
It is an institution. And so, obviously, we haven't heard much from AOC from the food world in a while. What's going on next? Because there's so many options, right, for the best, you know, brisket in Seattle, the best pizza, hot dogs. What else? What's next?
Yeah, well, I know Austin has a bunch of barbecue, so maybe I'll start exploring that. But, you know, maybe I'll just stop eating. Maybe I'll just
You're going to Austin for barbecue to tell us what? That's, like, the stupidest thing in the world.
Well, no.
We're not going to be able to go. Like, the chances of someone visiting Austin, which is weird because we've been talking about Austin a lot for the last couple of weeks. They're not visiting Austin to check out the barbecue, and Texas barbecue kind of sucks.
Well, no, it doesn't, and I wouldn't be visiting. I'd be staying there. Maybe I'll just stop eating.
In Texas? Austin?
Austin, Texas, yeah.
You're staying there.
Right. I'm quitting my job here, and I am moving to Austin, Texas.
Yeah. I'm sure you got a better offer. No one wants you. You're stuck here for life, man. Well, once you come in these doors, you don't leave.
What did you think that? Did you ever read that letter I handed to you 3 weeks ago?
This one? No. I haven't even opened it. Hold on. Dear Jason, these have been the months that have never meant more to me than anything in life. Oh, God. Your dedication to my advancement in my career has been awe-inspiring. That's sweet. That's nice. Thank you. I've loved everything about this job. You're leaving?
Unfortunately, yes. I am moving down to Austin, Texas.
Why?
Why not? From the music scene to...
Do you have a job?
To the bars, to the everything? Of course I have a job.
What's the job?
The big job.
But what's the job?
Well, I believe the title of the position is Uber driver, and so
you're an Uber driver. You're moving to Austin to become an Uber driver.
That's the position.
I know.
Right?
I mean, you know, they have Ubers here.
They do.
Well, nonetheless, I already got my place to live. I have a road map and heading down there.
When are you leaving?
Wednesday. Again, that was in the letter that you just, I guess, now started to read.
Okay, so technically you gave me 3 weeks' notice, but I didn't know until now.
I don't think that's my fault.
What am I going to do?
Well, there's this really awesome new producer named Peyton that, in fact, he's been in here training that I had to bring him in because, again, you just now read the letter. And
that's
I kinda
who
sense,
that's been? I thought it was your cousin.
No, he's not my cousin. No, but he's great. He's fantastic. And you would know that if you had stopped to meet him for once. I mean, he's sitting right to my left and you haven't even looked
at him. I literally thought he was your cousin.
Oh, no.
So hi. Well, welcome to the team.
Peyton, say hi.
Hey, what's going on? Nice to meet you.
That almost sounded like Tom doing a different person's voice.
No. It's not.
Talk at the same time so people realize it's true.
All right. We'll say...
Say Jason.
Say right. Henry's Tavern is the best burger on three. Right. One, two, three. Henry's Tavern is the best burger.
Oh, my God. So when does he start? When do you start?
Technically now, but I still got a few more days, under the wing of great producer Tom.
Can I just say, and then we'll take a quick break, you know I lose things very easily. You know I don't open handwritten letters. You literally know that about me. And you didn't think to pull me aside and be like, oh, you know, just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm quitting. Well, I'm moving to Austin for some reason, of all cities that I can go to. And now I kind of feel bad that I've been making so many horrible remarks about Austin, knowing that you're living there.
Well, I was trying to tell you, but you kept pausing because you needed to send out a tweet or something. You were like in a Twitter feud with someone and I kept trying to interject, but you're like, wait, how does this sound? And you would read me the tweet. And that happened like three separate times and I just kind of gave up.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. But you're leaving when?
Tuesday's my last day. And I leave Wednesday.
You know, if it doesn't work out in Austin, you're not welcome back. You walk out those doors, you are officially dead to us. You walk out those doors, you are dead to us.
And that's going to hurt because I really like the listeners, but...
What about me?
That's pretty much...
It's the worst. I hate you so much. Okay, well, we've got two more days together and an hour and a half. So people at home, keep the snide remarks to yourself. He's already down. He's going to Austin of all places, by the way. I don't think you need to be so mean to him on the text line. Like, we've got one that says, oh, good riddance, he was the worst. Like, okay, relax, folks. 1-800-465-877 if you want to say goodbye to producer Tom. He'll be here until Tuesday. You can just go now if you want.
Really?
Yeah, if you want.
I would.
Peyton, you got this? Peyton's fine. He's got it. He looks like he can fill in. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Send us a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept is simple. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. They end up ignoring everywhere you guys live and care about most. So we do the opposite. We ignore Seattle, and we're focused on the communities you live in. And we start in Everett with an update on the cat mutilation story. So I have mixed feelings about this story. The good news is there are no more dead cats. The good news / bad news is it turns out it was an animal that killed the five cats after all. After all that nonsense, after all of the wondering whether or not this was connected to the Thurston County serial cat killer, it turns out the Everett Police Department now thinks that it wasn't, in fact, limbs intentionally removed from these cats. It was another predator, but they don't know what the predator is. But that just seems kind of... Who cares?
But that's the Everett one, not the Olympia Lacey.
No, those are still believed to be serial cat killers. In this case... They said there was no evidence a person did this, and there's evidence an animal did it. The press release just came down from the Everett PD. The department does not believe a human is intentionally killing and mutilating cats. There's no indication what type of animal attacked the cats. That's not as exciting. I mean, I'm glad, I suppose, that it's not a human being doing it, but at the same time, we just wasted a whole bunch of time talking about a coyote eating a bunch of cats.
Yeah.
That's not news. How many times did we cover this story in the last couple of weeks? At least two times. we've committed 10 or 20 minutes to this stupid story. And it turns out, after all, it was just a coyote or whatever, or a dog eating it. It was hungry. It ate a cat. Cats are stupid. End of story.
Yeah. Well, at least the cats are probably at least a little bit relieved. In fact, they actually, the Q13 actually talked to a cat. And here it is.
It's never going to stop. Okay, I told you to bleep that. They can't use that language.
Is that not loud in the radio, what they just said?
You can't. Oh, my God. We're going to get fined.
I thought that could slide.
No, you knew it couldn't slide. You can't use slurs like that, and you can't use that kind of vulgarity.
Sorry.
And, you know, shame on Q13. Of all the cats that they could have talked to, they find the one bigoted, hateful cat?
Yeah, it's been a big problem. The cat was also caught putting white supremacy flyers on.
In Ferndale?
Yeah, in Ferndale.
So here's another reminder, never to go into any bodies of water. Don't go into any lakes. Don't go into oceans. Don't do it, regardless of the time of year. Health officials say they found toxic algae in Spanaway Lake. Como reports testing shows a toxic algae bloom so bad that the staff at Tacoma Pierce County Health Department had to shut down Spanaway Lake until further notice. Coral, which is a weird name given the subject matter of this topic, tells Como that people should heed the warning. Stay out of the lake.
Dogs can die from it and people get sick. And
okay, by the way, why are you leading with the dog part? Why don't you lead with the human part? Humans can get sick if they go into the toxic algae, and then you get into the animal part. Oh, my God.
Dogs can die from it, and people get sick. And
people can die, too.
It makes a big difference in the water. It gets murkier. It clears out. There's no traffic on it much any longer. You'll see kayakers on it, maybe some paddle boaters, but animals have left the water, and swimmers leave the water. It's definitely a big deal.
Okay, officially, people are being asked not to swim, wade, water ski, or fish until the water quality improves. The same goes for pets. Here is another resident.
Probably this weekend, regardless of the scare and everything, it's probably going to be busy. Traffic and everything, the usage on the lake.
So that's the concern there, that most people who don't consume news the way that I would consume news, and now the way you would as listeners, will know that this toxic algae issue is there. I'm assuming they're putting up signs and maybe they've got some staff there, but you know, it's very easy not to know about these things. At the bare minimum, you don't want to waste your time going down to Spanaway Lake knowing you're not going to be able to actually get in the water. But just don't go in water ever, anywhere. Toxic algae aside, push that aside for a moment. People are inherently gross, right? And animals are going to pee and poop wherever they want. Humans pee and poop wherever they want. Just don't go into the water. It's just so disgusting. It's just, that stuff gets in your mouth.
And wave pools.
Definitely don't go in those.
Lazy rivers.
They say toxic algae can leave people feeling weak and nauseous. Some might suffer vomiting or bowel issues. Which actually is better than, it's not as safe, but it's better than dieting. Like, oh, you look like you lost a few pounds. Oh, it was the toxic algae bloom in Spanaway Lake.
I'm on this great new program.
Oh, yeah, what is it? I literally just jumped in the water and then I ran out. And then, bam, I lost 4 pounds. I mean, I haven't been able to leave the house for a few days. I haven't really had an appetite at all and I'm tired.
I also have a rash.
Well, that was there before. Health officials plan to keep the lake closed a minimum of 2 weeks, but it can go even longer depending on the test results, so stay out of there. And then finally, a driver's in custody for threatening another person on Highway 2 in Monroe.
We received a 911 call from a victim that said somebody waved a gun at him as they were on the roadway.
Okay, maybe it was a friendly wave. Just say, hey, maybe you have this Glock. I don't know, you know, we automatically go, if that's all they did was wave the gun at them, what kind of wave was it? Is it a pointing of the gun or is it a waving of a gun? I feel like that's a completely different thing. It happened yesterday near the Evergreen State Fairgrounds. Monroe Police spokeswoman Debbie Willis said a Snohomish County Sheriff's deputy later stopped a car in Sultan that matched the suspect's descriptions. Officers are currently interviewing both. They're working to get a search warrant to confirm if there was, in fact, a gun. So once we have an update on that, who among us hasn't done exactly the same thing to someone who doesn't know how to drive next to you, whether we're talking about Highway 2 or 167 or 4, who among us is not guilty of this?
I remember the first time I did it. It was just a magical, magical moment.
I remember the last time I did it. It was 2 days ago on the way to Northgate.
Yeah, that was me. That's unacceptable.
1-800-465-8770. Send us your text messages on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Let's consider this the long goodbye to producer Tom, who just announced in the last segment. First time I'm hearing about it is he quit. He's on his way to Austin. He leaves town on Wednesday. if you want to send him your goodbyes in snarky text messages telling him that you're not going to remember his name in a week, that producer Peyton's taking over, is going to do a much better job not driving me absolutely mad when I just try to talk about Sounders, because I just learned that Peyton is a big Sounders fan. He actually did some work for the Sounders. What was the U23 team? He did some playbook. That's a better fit.
How are you going to do with that alliteration?
Pee-pee. Producer Peyton. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho Live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Yesterday, there were two big controversies on Twitter and on CNN. Sean Spicer gets on Dancing with the Stars, and he's not allowed to do that because he was attached to the Trump administration, the Trump White House, and oh man, so now we got white supremacists dancing on ABC. And then the other one was that CNN was upset that their competitors, the ones that beat them in the ratings every single day, every single hour, that Fox News hired Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I know. Boy, they were ticked off. Brian Stelter, he wrote a newsletter about it and everything. Then he goes on CNN to talk about how these two deserve shame.
ABC has George Stephanopoulos, who was at the White House, of course, during the Clinton years. There's many examples of this. The difference, of course, is the Trump White House's record of misleading the public. All administrations spin. This administration lies consistently, whether it's Sanders or Spicer or other White House aides. And it's all led from the top by a president who lies even about the weather and the time of day. That, I think, is why this does deserve outrage and backlash.
Outrage and backlash. And how about let's add weird timing to it? Because today CNN hired Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe, that dude who was fired from the FBI for leaking stories to the media and then lying under oath multiple times to the point where he's been referred for criminal prosecution by the inspector general from the Department of Justice. That seems bad. That seems like a bad hire. That seems like you shouldn't be complaining about Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting hired by Fox News if this is the dude who you want to associate yourself with. And by the way, the only reason that they're hiring Andrew McCabe is because he's so anti-Trump. And that's what CNN has become. They are now a network that's just anti-Trump. That is their brand. And it doesn't quite work for them. It works for MSNBC because everyone expected MSNBC to be the progressive version of Fox News, and Fox News, the conservative version of MSNBC. But CNN was always about the news. Apple is an apple or some nonsense like that. Fox and Friends this morning had a lot of fun talking about Andrew McCabe.
Oliver Darcy, who is, I think, the senior media reporter over at CNN, just tweeted out some news. CNN announces Andrew McCabe has been signed as a contributor. Andrew McCabe, famously the guy at the top, one of the top guys at the FBI, who ultimately was fired.
Left in disgrace. Yeah.
They were busting out laughing. Because it's funny. It's a funny bit of hypocrisy.
The Inspector General report that came out on this guy, it was so brutal. Andrew McCabe was referred for criminal prosecution.
Right, for perjury.
For lying multiple times under oath to the FBI, to Inspector General investigators.
Right.
He wasn't referred criminally for lying to the American people, but CNN is always on this high horse, including yesterday, about facts first, and yet here we are.
So far, Brian Stelter has not addressed this, nor Oliver Darcy. They certainly address the Fox News hire. But when it comes to their own actions, the network that they work for, they are silent. Now, that's different on Fox with Howard Kurtz, who's the media reporter, their version of Brian, right? He criticizes or talks about the criticism against Fox all the time. He's pretty open about that, and that's part of the reason why I'm such a big fan of his. Brian Stelter is a hack, and this was just the latest reminder that he is. Meanwhile, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg just completed 3 weeks of radiation treatment on a cancerous tumor on her pancreas. We've been hearing the top-of-the-hour news breaks from Fox News about this story for a while now, and the reason why a lot of people are paying attention to this, not just because of the health implications of all of it, but literally just weeks ago, her camp said that she's absolutely fine. There's no health issues whatsoever. She's 86 years old. She's got a history of cancer. And when you keep something like this secret as it's happening while also telling us she's perfectly fine, it kind of feels like you're undercutting your own goal, which is to kind of quell the health concerns. There are a lot of folks, particularly on the left, that are concerned about her health because they know that if she were, God forbid, to pass on, she would get replaced by, presumably, a conservative justice in the mold of Neil Gorsuch or Brett Kavanaugh, which is fantastic news for Trump supporters and for conservatives here. But you're making it harder to say everything's okay when you keep hiding these stories. Clearly they're not. And in a lot of ways, you've got the media pushing this along as well. They don't have to lie. I don't need them to say, oh my gosh, she's near death. I don't need to do that. Just be a little bit more upfront. Say the 86-year-old justice with a history of health issues just revealed that she is dealing with another cancer scare. And she says, her camp says, all is well at this point. But again, you told us that before. Now, NPR posted it this way. They said, shortly before the new round of treatment, Ginsburg sat for an interview with NPR and her resilience was on full display. I don't know why they're choosing to talk about her that way, because it makes me more suspicious. And I don't want to be one of those people that feeds into the controversy, because I don't want her to pass on. I don't like her perspectives on the law. I don't like her votes on the Supreme Court, but I don't want anything to happen to her, no more than I would want anything to happen to anybody on the Supreme Court. And by the way, she just also doesn't seem all that resilient.
You do realize, as my editors wanted you to ask you this, that when you get a cold or a hangnail, there's a substantial portion of the population, a large part of it female, but men too, who go into a complete panic.
Well, some are not panicked. There was a senator, I think it was after the pancreatic cancer, who announced with great glee that I was going to be dead within 6 months. That senator, whose name I've forgotten, now himself dead.
Did she do it?
And I am very much alive.
I'm glad she's alive, but she doesn't look healthy. She doesn't look that resilient. She doesn't sound that resilient. So I wish we would stop sugarcoating this. Let's just be totally upfront. And I think part of the reason why they don't want to why they do want to sugarcoat it, is because they don't want to have the conversations about whether or not she's of sound mind to stay on the Supreme Court. But by the way, they're very happy to have the conversations about the so-called mental illness of Donald Trump. But they're not going to talk about the potential issues, the health issues of someone who is dictating the law of the land. You're listening to The Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. We're back with one more hour right after this.